Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker on another great day here in the Atlanta area. It seems like this is a broken recording. Andy, it seems like this has been the best fall, I think, since I've lived here.
It really is. We've had some great weather, which is not only great for hanging out, but football, too.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of football fans here. I'm sure that'll get woven into the conversation to some degree. Biz Rocket Radio is an opportunity for us to chat with business owners and executives here in the Atlanta area and kind of get an idea of what type of successes and challenges that they've had in the past and learn from those, learn a little bit about them and some of their backgrounds. And today we've got two guests with us. Our first guest is Scott Klingler. And Scott is with AllConnect. So I wanted to welcome you in, Scott.
Oh, thank you very much, John. Glad to be here this morning.
Maybe you could give us a little bit of background on where you came from. And there's a lot of kind of shifts and curves in your career. I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background.
Sure. I'll just give you a quick overview, but came down here from New Jersey on a track scholarship to go to Georgia Tech and got through Georgia Tech and started with Delta Airlines. It was worked for Delta in a few summers tossing bags, and young guy right out of college, it looked like a lot of fun to be able to travel the world and work for a living. And then just did various jobs throughout my career with Delta. I was an airline guy, but from there left Delta and joined a company here in Atlanta, Home Bank. And then after Home Bank, spent a little bit of time with Intercontinental Hotel Group. And then past 4 years, I've been with AllConnect, and it's been a fun ride through this challenging economy.
Yeah, you got to be able to adjust and swerve to the way the market and the economy is going, I guess.
Yeah, it's when I joined, it was a turnaround, a late stage turnaround. But we've had a phenomenal few years, our top line and bottom line growth, and poised for some exciting growth on the horizon with some of our utility partners.
Well, tell us a little bit about AllConnect, a little more in kind of what you're doing with them and what's the company all about.
Yeah, so essentially the business model is you're moving. First call you make is to your utility to get your power turned on.
Right.
And they'll transfer that call to us, and it's a one-stop shop. We'll set up all your home services. And we do that so well. It's a wonderful customer experience that our utility partners are asking us to help them with more problems, such as energy efficiency, green energy, and really in a cost-effective way, getting customer adoption. And so we've been growing our capabilities, especially as digital becomes a greater and greater component of the conversation, to help utility partners drive their consumers online instead of through the voice channel.
And you really started off coming out of Georgia Tech, more on the technology side, I would imagine. Is that where you're
that, that's
your
exactly right. I mean, graduated from an engineering technology school and started in technology with Delta and came up through the technology ranks. So I say that's kind of where I cut my teeth and was a divisional CIO. And that was a great opportunity with the airlines because they were early adopters of technology with their reservation systems. And that kind of led me into an operations area because we had automated a lot of our systems and processes, and I knew how to get to the data, analyze the data, and that led into operations and pilot contract negotiations, which was a great learning experience for me.
Contract negotiations.
Yeah.
So you were the man. You were like the management. Pilots were like, oh God, here comes that Scott guy again.
Fortunately, I was the man behind the curtain. my more senior colleagues were the men in front of the curtain.
Right.
But it was a great experience, which really kind of propelled me into some other areas in strategic planning and finance, which really leveraged my technology background because it's really all about building a platform that the business continue to grow upon.
What do you think the biggest thing that you took from being involved in those types of negotiations that can get so heated and are so important?
Well, it's always understanding where people, the shoes they stand in, and that it just takes time to be patient and really understand others' points of view and be able to articulate your point of view and together to work to some common ground. And I'm sure, my colleague, Senator Albers, talks some more about that. But that was really helpful as it led me to my next opportunity at Delta, really leading the Delta Shuttle, which was a business within a business.
Yeah.
It was a $250 million business and rather unique up in the Boston, Washington, New York market. But you're leading pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, airport workers, and it's really bringing your colleagues along and really understanding the mission is so important. And that's was very similar with pilot negotiations. It's really understanding, you know, the challenges and opportunities that are 10, 20 years down the road.
So tell us a little bit more about that experience with Delta Shuttle. How did you get involved in it, and what was your role?
Well, after my time in operations, I had this opportunity to move into the Delta Shuttle. They were faced with a number of strategic challenges, such as replacement aircraft, which is a multi-billion-dollar decision,
mm-hmm.
and really understanding the economics and how best to make those decisions, as well as it was a very profitable business model for us where there are opportunities to grow it into other markets. And having worked it with technology strategy with the business, because technology and business strategy really are go hand in glove with one another. That's what led me into this finance strategic planning role with the Delta Shuttle. And then once we solved those strategic challenges, was able to move into a leadership role, leading the frontline operation, and then eventually the business itself.
Right, right. Did what came from that helped you in that next phase? Because you really got into kind of finance. The next side was kind of banking, I think. And what was that?
Well, it was, and actually before I go there, it was my next opportunity at Delta was after the Delta Shuttle. So it was, if you say we ran an old economy business, I was moving into, it was back in the late 90s, we were launching this e-commerce thing, this internet thing.
That's right, booking online.
Booking online. Yeah. And again, airlines were early adopters of e-commerce. And so I had the opportunity to move into e-commerce, and we were launching a number of online businesses. And actually, we were first to market with a piece of technology that today powers Orbitz, and it was since purchased by Google. But after 9/11, we didn't have the luxury to continue to incubate those businesses, and we were able to monetize a business. It was a consortium of other airlines, which today is known as Orbitz. And so I was running Delta.com for a period of time. And again, that leveraged my technology background, business background, as that became a bigger channel for Delta as well as a cornerstone for our turnaround strategy. And it just so happened that there was a company here in Atlanta that had just gone public, Home Bank. And they were looking to build out their digital channels and capabilities. And I loved the airlines, loved Delta, but it was a great opportunity to be a part of something from the get-go. And so I moved on over to Home Bank and was a part of that business. It was a wonderful culture, but unfortunately, it was an early victim of the economic meltdown in 2007, fall of 2007.
Yeah.
So it immediately liquidated.
Yeah, and then here you are at you were at IHG for a little while, and a similar concept, doing blending that finance and technology background there as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, it was leveraging the technology, the e-commerce. I was with IHG for a short period of time, helping with their online strategy and online experience. Again, is within the travel sector. We're looking. Most people go online to book their airline ticket or their hotel room.
Right.
And so that's become a greater channel within their business, which really led to All Connect, as we're finding that as we grow our business from being a white label marketing services company for the utilities, is digital is becoming greater part of the conversation. So it's been a fun ride going from airlines who were kind of very early on deregulated and then moving into real estate, and then into really the energy sector. That is kind of we're seeing states slowly take on more and more deregulation.
How do you see technology playing, you know, a role in that going forward?
Well, at AllConnect, we see the opportunities almost being the orbits for home services, where you can go in one place and know all the services available at your address.
Nice.
And again, people are going online to manage their family budget. And we see that as a great opportunity down the road for us. But we have a plethora of opportunities right here in front of us in helping our utility partners. And so that's our focus. But we do see down the road, like I said, being that the orbits of home services.
And that's great stuff, because, I mean, a lot of times in those home services pieces, you kind of feel trapped to a certain degree. I mean, I remember when I moved to Roswell, I moved from Duluth into Roswell. The first time I got my water bill, I almost passed out because there's a $40 charge for them to come out and actually look at the meter. I'm like, what is this $35 meter reading charge? You get, you know, what are they, somebody in, you know, walking around? I mean, what's going on with that? And so you almost feel like you're helpless to do nothing, where something like this really brings that control back to the consumer.
That's exactly right, and that's the experience we're trying to create. Whether, again, most people come to us and get exposed to us when they call their power company, say they're moving to Atlanta, they call Georgia Power, get the power turned on, transfer a call to us, and we'll set up the rest of their home services. And it's a wonderful experience. And people start sharing it with friends via word of mouth. But to your point, there's greater and greater transparency happening out there in the marketplace, and people want to know that, you know, they're not being taken advantage of, kind of gotcha capitalism. And if we can help, and that's really been a theme throughout my career. It's really providing a world-class customer experience and helping solve problems for the consumer, whether that's, you know, going to Delta.com and checking in online or booking a ticket, or going to, you know, HolidayInn.com and booking a ticket, or now with AllConnect, going and seeing that what services are available. Are you paying, you know, is it the best price or value exchange for for your family? So that's what's exciting, is we're now building that foundation and the capabilities to not only help our utility customers, but then to take it direct to the consumer and put them in charge of that rather large item in their home budget.
Well, it seems like there's almost an unlimited opportunity in that area, where everybody seems to be wanting more immediacy, more control, more personalization, more customization to them as a consumer, and this just kind of feeds right into that.
That's exactly right, and there's really been nobody to date that really kind of first to market and stake out a claim that is a household name, and so we're excited about the opportunities in front of us over the next few years.
So when you're you know, getting ready for the day, or trying to figure out what you're going to do next, kind of with a business decision, what's the thing that gets you up in the morning? What's the thing that gets you motivated to do that? Maybe from a business scenario, and also from a personal scenario, what are you trying to accomplish with that day's work?
Again, it goes back to just trying to help solve problems, and it may, I just get excited about going in and doing something new, learning something new, and helping a colleague solve a problem, or just the value exchange, whether it's, again, with colleagues, bringing colleagues along, or understanding their point of view in solving the problem. But these are complicated issues that take time, and whether it's bringing people along or implementing the technology. Right now we're trying to accelerate the pace of things, and so we're looking to possibly buy capabilities to accelerate the pace at which we're able to better help our utility customers and to bring this kind of vision to reality, like I said earlier, to be the orbits of home services.
Yeah, and obviously at home you've got, you kind of have to make sure the peace is kept as well with an Auburn, an Alabama kids, right, in both those schools.
That's right.
You're Georgia Tech and your wife's Georgia?
Georgia.
So you don't know which way to turn on Saturday.
No, we are a house, not divided, but subdivided.
Subdivided. Subdivision.
Subdivision. but no, that's exactly right. I think, like us all, you put your heart and soul into your work, but you got to have plenty of left over when you get home for the important stuff.
That's right. You got to have a lot left in the tank.
That's right. Yeah. So it's my advice is start your day early, take care of yourself. Good workout will help, and just attack your day. And
I had one other, like a totally different question. What was it like being an NCAA athlete? I mean, you came from New Jersey, I think you said, and you come down here to the South, and you're running track for Georgia Tech. What was that like trying to balance all that, you know, athletic piece with the you know, studies?
It brought tremendous focus and discipline around time management, you know, because you have a rigorous academic schedule. You're training every day, and then, you know, you would work part-time jobs here and there just to have a little bit of spending money. And so, and then you had to ensure that you had your studies in place.
Well,
and,
you know.
Yeah.
That too.
The little stuff. but it really taught you that you can have a lot of fun, but you've got to remain focused, disciplined, and manage your time appropriately, because that's just a very limited asset and that's really carried over into business. And, you know, I found that really laying out that personal or professional vision where you want to be 50 years from now and kind of charting it out in 5-10 year increments and really staying on course to continue to grow and kind of directionally head down that path where you want to be.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today. Scott Klinger is with All Connect. And again, thanks again for showing up. You get a chance to hang out for a minute as we talk to the senator.
I'd love to hang out for a minute.
All right. So we can all lob grenades over the side to talk to the politicians, right? So our next guest is John Albers. And John is a senator in the District 56.
That is correct.
All right. Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. And you're in District 56, so
I am.
It's good to be here.
I am. Well, it's good to have you. Now I know exactly who to call. I don't have to do your card by the time I get out of here. It's good stuff. You're the one who's going to change that water bill thing for me, right? Is it? You're going to talk to
We're working
Scott.
On it.
All
right. We're working on it.
Good. Senator, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, clearly you don't just kind of pop into office and get started. There's some background to that. And tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got to doing what you're doing.
Sure, actually, and as I was listening to Scott earlier, I found we have a few connections in the past. I am a technology person by trade. I've been a CIO of a couple of companies, and I'm a partner at Slalom Consulting. We're a smaller version of Accenture, Deloitte, or Ernst & Young. We're a little different model, though. We do not travel our consultants, so most of our folks are former from those companies who wanted to get off the road. We've been very successful, have grown nicely to 12 offices nationally, about 2,500 folks, and have a great business model. Because in Georgia, we have what's called the Citizens Legislature, which means we only meet part-time 40 days per year, beginning in January. And the rest of the time, we do what is important, which is get back into our communities and have real jobs.
Right.
Which is the way Washington was set up for most of the time as well, and something that I certainly advocate for, because it's good to have folks that are grounded. So that's what I do, as well as I'm an Alpharetta firefighter, fourth generation in my family, something I love to do, and then very active in my kids' lives. I've got a son at Roswell High School and one at Roswell North Elementary, and we do all the scouting and sporting and band events and all the things you can imagine for kids that age.
Yeah, well, I got a bunch in that division, too. Scott and I were talking earlier about lacrosse. My son's playing lacrosse for the kind of junior Hornets feeder team, and then I got a 10-year-old in tennis and gymnastics and basketball. And
I'll see you at the park.
Yes, you will. I saw you serve on, I'm not sure if it's a board or you're doing something with the park, with Roswell Rex and Park Recreation.
Yeah, I've been a youth sports coach there for many years. I did basketball, baseball, football, lacrosse, you name it, at one point or another.
I'm sure I coached against you at some point in time.
Probably. Yeah. You probably won.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how you got into the political side of things. Obviously, you come out of school and you get into business. And how do you take that turn and decide to get involved in politics?
You know, I've always loved history and policy and politics, have since I was a small child, and has always thought it was something I would do probably in about 7 or 8 years from now. I figured when my youngest son was off to college, then I would explore that opportunity. And I was very active and have been for years politically, whether it be through the local GOP or supporting certain candidates for office. I'd host an event in my house or used to help Newt Gingrich put yard signs out even before he was Speaker of the House. So,
right.
So the trail is long on being actively engaged, but never really saw myself jumping in at this age. And then I had a good friend of mine, my predecessor, Dan Moody, who decided he was going to retire. And after the discussions with Dan and lots of other family and friends, I decided this was the ideal time to do that because if I do serve, I get to come home every night. Unlike those who are traveling to Washington, where you're gone 40 to 45 weeks a year, which is something I really didn't want to do with my family so young.
Mm-hmm.
So this gave me an opportunity to do both and also not stifle my business career at the same time. I believe that whenever you do something in government, it ought to be a pay cut and something that is very secondary and something that I'd probably be more well-suited for if I decide to go that direction later on in life. So I jumped in. I ran my first race a couple years ago, brand new to elected office, ran against three seasoned politicians. And while they were smarter than me and more politically savvy, I outworked them all.
Right.
And in outworking them all, we knocked on 7,100 doors. And I did something rather unique. I called 17,615 people personally.
Wow.
Over 7.5 months, I sorted the voter list. I did, if you've ever seen the movie Moneyball,
yeah.
Of how they applied those type of statistics to a game, I did the very similar thing in politics where I targeted the exact voters, those who only voted in primary elections
mm-hmm.
for a certain party. And that's a very different group. Well, I sorted that voter list by their birthday. And I called everyone and wished them a happy birthday for 7.5 months.
Nice.
And believe it or not, 3.5 years later, people still come up to me and say, thank you for wishing me a happy birthday. Yeah. Of course, now they want to know where their next birthday call is.
That's right. Where's my call? And you're like, no, I'm elected. You get nothing.
Well, connect me on Facebook and you'll get a happy birthday every
there,
day. So.
There you go. There you
go. So that's the story. And I was recently just reelected again to my second term and we'll be heading back in the legislative session on January the 14th.
Great. So what do you guys have on the docket? What's hot on your list, things that you want to make difference in and make some changes with?
Well, there's a couple of overriding themes for this year. Healthcare is probably one of the main things we'll be talking about with the recent national election and Georgia's position on how we are going to handle the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Is subject of a lot of discussion and activities we'll have to do. The governor recently opted out of setting up a health care exchange for the state of Georgia, mostly because that was an unfunded mandate of could be up to $100 million, and then we'd have no control over it.
Right.
So we did not decide to take that leap, but also the expansion of Medicaid, which is a huge fiscal problem for us now. That's about $500 million upside down just this fiscal year alone, and expansion of Medicaid could be billions of dollars more. Which we simply just don't have the budget for. Unlike our friends in Washington, we have a balanced budget and no deficit in the state of Georgia. Let me say that again for everybody listening. We have a balanced budget and no deficit in the state of Georgia, something we're very proud of. We cannot print money. So we have to live within our means. We have to make tough decisions, just like all of us have had to over the last few years. So healthcare will be a main topic, as well as something that I am strongly advocating for, which is the first bite at the apple of reducing and eventually eliminating the Georgia income tax in lieu of fair consumption-based taxes. And I'd like to try and take the first bite of the apple in this next two-year legislative session. We're on two-year sessions. And reduce the income tax by a percent by adding in a penny of sales tax. There's about an equal amount of revenue. Now, we don't need more money. Don't make any mistake. But I think it's better that we are more competitive with Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Washington State, and other areas that have no income tax. And no matter what people's opinions are from the left or the right, everyone agrees that's the greatest job creator.
Is that targeted towards bringing in a certain demographics or attracting a certain demographic, maybe the Echo boomers or maybe baby boomers, because they tend to be a very large trend even now of our demographics getting bigger and larger because of the weather. And, I mean, people love the Atlanta area. What's not to love about it? So what's that going to do to help us down the road?
Well, it's actually going to help every demographic and group. If you look at the economics of an individual, whether they're right out of college all the way up to a senior citizen, anybody who's still a producer and earning income will have more disposable income back at their discretion. And when they do that, they spend it. We're a consumer-based economy. It also specifically works for small businesses, many of whom are not organized in a fashion that's outside of an individual. So they don't normally form a large S-corporation or a full C-corp. They will be individual tax earners. And the way that they're paying taxes, if we can remove that income tax from those folks, that allows them to invest more in their businesses. And I know that giving Georgians more of their money and using their discretion means great things. And again, I like to use best practices from other states. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here in Georgia. We can look and see where it's been done better.
So looking into the future a little bit, are you a proponent of the flat tax concept?
I'm a proponent of the fair tax. So the flat tax would certainly be a great step in that direction. I believe no one should be ever taxed more than 25% of their total income. But a true fair tax that is all consumption-based is truly the best way. This way, everyone contributes. It really brings you back to the analogy of the wagon. If you've ever heard the analogy, there are people that pull the wagon, and there are people that ride in the wagon. And over thousands of years, there have been more people pulling or riding in that wagon. If you look at America today, and especially the last 4 years, there's an awful lot more people riding in the wagon, and there's a smaller group of people who are pulling that wagon. And when you get to a point we call the tipping point, which we're at now, where you have almost half the country who does not pay an income tax, you get to the point where they would only ever vote for and support those who would continue that process. Where if you move into consumption-based taxes, then everybody has to pull a little bit of that wagon.
So it sounds like from a business perspective, there's a lot of crossover that you must have been able to draw on from your business experience moving into kind of more of a political area. What kind of characteristics do you think helped you the most and continue to help you?
That's a great question, because I apply business to everything I do in government. You know, I've worked at very large businesses, medium, and I've started and sold off four of my own businesses, small businesses. So anytime I look at something, I try and make things into a mathematical equation. I literally try and take the emotion out of it, pull all the data points together, and then how would we approach this if we were doing that and it was just the four of us who were together on the show today in our own business doing that? Because if you think about it, the government doesn't have any money. They have ours, right? Mm-hmm. So if we all consider ourselves the stakeholders, the shareholders in our state government, then we'd approach it just the way we did to make a very successful business, just like Scott's doing in AllConnect right now.
On a local level, is there anything else besides the tax piece and a couple of these other areas that you're kind of championing and looking maybe down the road? It might be something you can get done in this session, but maybe the next session that you're looking at?
Yes, just a couple of things. First is I want Georgia to become the leader in compressed and liquefied natural gas and propane solutions. If you look at the crisis really we've had over the last two decades with foreign oil dependency, you know, we rely on our second most precious commodity behind food, being oil. We rely on a large chunk of that from folks around the world who really want to do harm to us. And we have what's considered to be an almost unlimited supply of natural gas within our country. And as technology and cost and safety has really come to light and we've been able to put a wrapper around that, we have the opportunity to lead the way. Now, while we're not going to necessarily be pulling that natural gas out of the ground here in Atlanta and Georgia, we are known to be a logistics state. And I want to be the people that lead that effort. I want to lead for the retrofitting and creation of new engines. I want to lead that at being exporting out of both the airport and the port of Savannah and the port of Brunswick. I want us to be the leader in refueling stations and have large fleets like UPS and Coca-Cola and AT&T be the first to help take those leaps. Not that we subsidize them to do that, but that we create an environment that says we want to be the leader there. It's a win-win for everybody. It's all American jobs. And it allows us to become energy independent, and it's clean energy, which I think everybody will support, which really leads into another issue we have, which is transportation. I adamantly opposed the T-SPLOST vote that came out in July for one major reason. It wasn't going to do anything about your traffic. And that gets back to my business approach to government. If we were ever going to ask someone to give more money to the government, then there has to be a good return on that investment. And when we do things in business like put in key performance indicators and critical success factors, you have to look at what that does that mean. And the average person would be affected about 19 seconds a day based on what would have been the largest tax increase in Georgia history. I don't think that's a real smart use of our money, but I think we can all agree on this room and on the air today that we have concerns with traffic and transportation here in Metro Atlanta. So we have to think differently. the good news is we're a victim of our own success, right? Over the last 20 years, we were averaged the fifth fastest growing state in the union. Like you mentioned earlier, John, people are flocking here. We've got a lot of great things here in Georgia. And because of that, we need to continue to expand capacity. We need to do things smarter. You know, we all complain about Georgia 400 right out the road here as being a bottleneck, even with its expansions. And while that is important, a lot of the problems are getting to Georgia 400 that's a problem.
Right.
Issues that are not being addressed. So I've got plenty of initiatives and plans. The biggest one is to clean up the bureaucracy. Our Department of Transportation and what I call the alphabet soup of different agencies, the ARC and the SRTA and you name it, don't play nice together in a sandbox. They need to be streamlined and cleaned up and done right. First and foremost, and then I want to eliminate the penalties that were put onto the TSPOS legislation that said if you didn't pass this tax that you'd have to put more money from a local perspective to match. Because I think that penalizing any one part of Georgia for not passing a tax increase is un-American. And that's one of the first bills I'll be dropping to eliminate those penalties so we can get some more work done specifically right here in this area.
Okay, so let's move away from the political side. Let's talk about your business. Tell us more about what you're doing with your business and you know, how you work with people.
Well, I'm a relationship person. I am the old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know, because I don't know much, but I know everybody. In our business, I'm a partner for our firm, so I manage several of our relationships, primarily our relationship with AT&T. And we do business consulting, we do marketing, financial, technology, kind of the gambit, and we do some pretty fantastic work for our clients. And we're a little different that we don't like to come give someone a 60-point PowerPoint deck and leave. We're the folks that actually bring stuff to implementation and light into a reality. And we try and leave a legacy for our clients when we do that. And having clients like AT&T and Home Depot and Coca-Cola and IHG and other clients allows us to do that, and then having that nationally as well in offices throughout the country. It's a great company, privately held, and we continue to open up an office or two every year, and in the next few years we're going to open up our first couple of international offices.
What's a good market niche for you? Who's a good organization for you guys to work with? Large, small, does it matter?
Well, we're primarily larger companies now. We do some work in the middle market, not really any in the small. But most of the time, our solutions are enterprise level. You know, it's everything from the strategy of how do you take something to an entire mobile-first type world, as an example. You know, for years, we all looked at our traditional computer screen. But today, most people are not going there first anymore. They're going to their mobile device first. In fact, the afterthought is their computer screen. Yet everything we do today, from a financial perspective, from a technology perspective, from an organizational perspective, is thinking people are still going to their computer screen. It's a paradigm shift for our company to make. So getting them to start totally changing their operations to be mobile first is a huge initiative, and it crosses all sections of an organization.
And it creates lots of business opportunities.
It absolutely does.
Yeah,
absolutely does. And it's fun because we're doing some exciting things for our client. We're showing them, you know, some ROI percentages that are in the thousands of percents. And ultimately, we're making them successful. And when I meet with a client, my goal is how do I make them successful and how do I get them promoted or move to whatever career goal they're trying to get to. And if I do that, I go home at night with a smile on my face and know that I'm doing a little better for folks.
Good. Good stuff. So last question. And that is, what's the thing that gets you up in the morning? What gets you motivated to put your feet on the floor and make something happen?
You know, I love serving other people. I love doing that in my church. I love doing that in my business. I love doing that in government. I love doing that as a firefighter. I'm one of those wacky guys that only sleeps a few hours a night. I just go. I love to do it. I don't know how long I'll be on this earth. And one day when I get called home, I want to say my dance card was full and I did good things for people, and hopefully I'll get a seal and an escalator north.
That doesn't sound like there's a snooze button on your alarm, I guess.
No.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us,
John
Albers from the District 56. And again, Scott, thanks for joining us in here today. We appreciate you guys taking your time out of your busy mornings. To our audience, thank you for listening. We certainly appreciate your time as well. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.